Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. Today I'm going to answer a question that somebody asked me in my Instagram Q&A, which is, what is your definition of fully recovered? And I will be answering this question, but before I do, just a reminder, if you haven't already left a review on Spotify or iTunes, please just pause this episode. Just take 10 seconds, 20 seconds of your time just to leave 5 stars. Give me a rating because I really appreciate your reviews and they do help other people who want to and need to find this information, find the information that can potentially really help them because your reviews help to improve the podcast rankings. So if you haven't already done that, take a moment to do that now. And then I thought I would just start off the episode with a few little business and life updates. So at the time of recording this episode, it is the middle of June. We are still waiting for summer to start here in the UK. It has been a very, very dismal summer so far, but it looks like the weather is good for this week. And I have been down to the beach this morning for a lovely swim. I took a packed breakfast of breakfast biscuits, which are, it's not really a biscuit. It's like more like a scone. I think the biscuit term is an American term, but it's a scone made of chicken mince, almond flour, egg, red pepper, spinach, and feta cheese, all sort of mushed up in a little ball and cooked in the oven. So that is a standard breakfast for me. And I usually have 3 of those in a morning. I'll bake a batch on a Sunday and then I carry that over into the week with me. So I took down to the beach 3 breakfast biscuits and a carrot and a mug of mint tea, had a lovely swim in the sea this morning, had my breakfast afterwards, just sat on the beach for a bit and watched the world go by. And that was a beautiful, grounding way to start the week. Unfortunately, I don't always get the time to do that, but today I did have the time. So I really just, or made the time, shall I say. So I really just took the opportunity to start the week off right. So that's just a little bit of an insight into some of my life. And then the other thing I just thought I would update on is we have a new practitioner on the team now officially. Last week, I welcomed Nicolina onto our team. She is already really busy. We had about, I don't know how many it was exactly, maybe 10 people booked in to speak with her even before she started work. So she has been working through some of those inquiries and she is onboarding new clients, which is very exciting. Unfortunately, fortunately, we are in a position where we just can't keep up with the inquiries that are coming in. And from a business perspective, it's a great position to be. I know once upon a time when I first started working in this capacity, it was more of a question of where is my next client going to come from? And now it's definitely the opposite problem in terms of we have more demand for clients than we're able to deliver on, which from a business perspective is great, but from the client perspective is not great, especially if you're someone who's reaching out and looking for the help and wanting the help right now. So I just wanted to say that I'm just so grateful to, you know, everybody who engages on Instagram, everybody who listens to this podcast or reads the blog and takes the time to send a message and say so or comment on a post or, you know, all the different ways in which you, the listener, engages with my business. I'm so grateful for all of that. And in addition to that, as things are getting busier and busier, it's really hard for me to keep up with all the questions and DMs and inquiries. And I really do my best. I really do my best to get back to messages or send a link or point someone in the right direction. But it is hard. And, you know, you get to the end of the day working with people on a very emotional level, because that's really what it is when people are so unwell. It can be quite exhausting, not in a fatigue kind of way, but just in a very normal human kind of way. And sort of weight of the work does take a lot out of you. And then you kind of, like most people do, just like go onto social media to maybe like zone off and have a little bit of a scroll. And then there's like more people who are messaging you and asking you questions and, you know, wanting some help or attention or support from you. And it can just be relentless at times. So if you have sent a message and I haven't got back to you, it's not you, it's me. It's just more reflection of my current capacity. And also amongst all of this, to preserve some fun and joy and life and aliveness for myself. And that's exactly what I was doing this morning when I went down to the beach and just had that slightly slower start to Monday than what I normally would. So those are some updates from me. But now what I'll do is I will just go into the episode, which is talking about my definition of fully recovered, or what does fully recovered mean to me? And I realize I have actually spoken about this previously on other podcast episodes, maybe more so in the case of weaving it into the conversation versus having a full episode dedicated to this. And so I thought maybe it would be a nice opportunity just to have a full episode dedicated to this. I have not planned anything. I have no notes. I'm just going to speak freely from the heart because I think that's probably the way that this is going to flow best. When I started my own fatigue recovery journey, there was a lot of attention on recovery stories, perhaps, or this idea of being fully recovered. And I think recovery stories and seeing people who have been through something that you've been through and made a full recovery, I think that's really important. It's really important because it gives us hope in a time in our lives when we can feel utterly hopeless. And it gives us inspiration and it gives us belief. Maybe not necessarily always the belief that this is possible for us, but that it is at least possible. And that's something that I think we all need. We all need that encouragement. We all need that belief. We all need to be inspired by the possibility that something can change. And I think that's a really, really helpful thing. When I went through my own journey, I think given that I was already practicing in nutritional therapy and functional medicine, but not necessarily in this specific niche, I kind of already knew that this was possible. And I kind of already knew that, oh, this is just like a systems biology approach. We just have to identify which systems are out of balance and rebalance those systems. And hey ho, off we go. This is all a problem which is solvable. So I came in with that very pragmatic approach, like this is all solvable. We just need to work out which systems are out of balance. Obviously, not having been through the whole journey myself and worked with many clients in that capacity at the time, obviously realized it's a different thing to overly simplify it and go, oh, these are just systems which are out of balance. Let's rebalance them, versus once you've identified the systems that are out of balance, the time and the complexity at which that comes with rebalancing, that's, you know, such a huge part of the journey. It's easier said than done, so to speak. But I think I always knew in my heart of hearts that I would get better. I was like, it's just a matter of solving these puzzle pieces. So I came into my own healing journey already with a very, very strong belief in my core that this was all a problem that could be solved. Did I have hopeless days? Absolutely. Did I have days when lying in bed in tears in a crash yet again? Absolutely. But I think on a much like deeper level, there was always this like understanding in my soul that this was only a temporary situation. And so if you're somebody who doesn't have that deep rooted belief, then I think it can be really helpful to be watching recovery stories or reading recovery stories or exploring what people are talking about online to help to instill this within your being, because I think that is a huge part of what gets us through the process. So all of that being aside, what I think is potentially unhelpful is this idea of being fully recovered. It can almost be, I think maybe it's just a, so it could potentially just be a social media thing. But when this idea of fully recovered on social media is another way in which we channel our achiever, because I know that was something that I definitely did in the early stages of my journey. Almost this idea of performative recovery. Like, look at me, look at how well I'm doing on my recovery. Look at how I'm achieving in my recovery. Look at how fast I'm recovering. You know, it only took me 6 months, or, you know, all these things that you can see on social media, just this idea of it's quick and it's easy and it's possible, which again, it's all helpful to a degree until we get so sucked into this idea that I need to fully recover, I need to fully recover, I need to fully recover, that we can't necessarily be where we are in the journey. And then as a consequence, we start tripping over our own feet in the attempt to recover. So what I prefer to think of now, especially when I'm working with clients, because if you've got this idea in your head that you have to help this person fully recover and you have to do it as fast as possible, that is not a good grounded foundation from which to be working. So instead, what I like to think about is, how do we help to improve this person's quality of life one step at a time? I've spoken in the past in a previous episode about the privileges which we can have in our healing journey. I shared in that episode like personal privileges that I had, education being one of them. I was very well educated, so it was much easier for me to grasp what was going on and identify what I needed to support myself. But there can be other privileges, like some people have more financial means than others. Some people have more community support or family support or friendship support than others. There can be also different ways in which people are treated depending on things like race, for example, or their sex, or other ways in which society may either support certain population groups or deny certain population groups of certain privileges. So when we look at this idea of recovery, if we're thinking about how fast we can achieve at our recovery, or you know, how fully we can recover, it's really complex in terms of the privileges which we have available. And there's somebody in their 20s who can live at home with their parents, who is supported financially, who has supportive environments, it's supported like family and just kind of that mental and emotional support and even physical support in the home. They're set up with a much greater capacity to recover versus maybe a single mom with two kids who doesn't have a lot of extra money outside of maybe what's coming into the family or any benefits that are being received. And in addition to that, maybe has to continue to work above her capacity to continue to support the family. Those are two very different situations. And therefore, it's not that recovery isn't possible for either of those people, but it will just look very different depending on what you have available. So when we consider this idea of what does it mean to be fully recovered, I think just the idea of like attaching to fully recovered can put a lot of pressure on the system. And we know that healing nervous systems don't necessarily like to have pressure. So when it comes to recovery, I like to think about, first of all, how do we meet ourselves where we are? There's a grieving process that needs to happen as part of self-acceptance. When we accept where we are, we also have to be able to grieve what we have lost being where we are. And I think this is a really important start of the recovery journey. Acceptance and being able to process the grief that comes hand in hand with acceptance. But if we can accept where we are and we can grieve the losses that come with that, then what we've done is we've already started to regulate the nervous system. And we know that nervous system regulation is a really important part of healing. And these are two things that I didn't do when I first became unwell. I couldn't accept that I was unwell, and therefore I jumped like 10 paces ahead to try and fix and heal. And I didn't give space for the grief and the loss that came with the complete change in having my whole life ripped out from under my feet. So being able to accept and grieve are the foundations for nervous system regulation. And I definitely would say that like my nervous system became more and more dysregulated in the first year of my recovery, even though my health was technically improving. But it set me up for a crash that came later because I hadn't built the capacity in my nervous system to process everything that was escalating. So we want to begin to accept where we are, and we want to allow that space for grief. And then from that more grounded place, the next question is, like, how can I enjoy my life as it is? And that might be a really difficult question to answer because nobody wants to be where they are when they're chronically unwell. But life is happening right now. Life is happening in this moment. And as hard as it may be, we want to find little pockets of joy and happiness and aliveness in the here and now, because this again is going to be really important for the nervous system. So if we're constantly looking ahead to the future, going, I need to be fully recovered, I need to be fully recovered, I need to be fully recovered, just even expressing that, I can feel the sense of unease and urgency and unsettledness in my system. And if we're walking around every single day thinking, I need to be fully recovered, life sucks, there's nothing to enjoy right now, we're not creating that foundation for healing. So it could be the smallest things. It could be that little cuddle that you have with your cat. It could be the feeling of the sun on your face. It could be your favorite mug of herbal tea that you sit and drink wrapped up in a warm, cozy blanket. So we want to find ways that we resource ourselves in the here and now, and not lose sight of the fact that, yes, we do want to progress. We don't want to stay here forever. We want to create change. We want to improve our health. We want to move the healing journey forward. But we can't do that effectively, shall I say, without a sense of accepting where we are now. So then once we've stabilized in this place of acceptance, then we can think about, well, how do we move forward? How do we improve quality of life? And here it might be really important to have a conversation about prognosis. And this could be potentially a depressing conversation, but I think it's important for us to be real. I will share with you that at this time of recording the podcast, I would still, like, if someone said, do you feel fully recovered? I would say no, because I still feel like there's room for improvement. But there could be somebody else looking at my life and they might say, Anna's definitely fully recovered. If I could even do like half of what she could do, I could consider myself recovered. And so I guess, if I think about what I do in a day, I'm physically active every single day. I do between 7 and 10,000 steps every day. And then on top of that, physical workouts. Currently, that looks like going to the gym 2 days a week for an hour, doing a swim in the ocean, vigorous swim, front crawl swim in the ocean 2 days a week, and then more gentle swims and maybe like sometimes a bigger hike, like a 2 or 3 hour hike on the weekend. On this weekend just gone, I painted my flat. So that was pretty physical, from 7 a.m. until 5 p.m. on Saturday, with 2 short breaks for breakfast and lunch. And I was fine. I recovered absolutely perfectly from that. And on top of that, I'm running a very busy business, working probably 8 to 5 most days, usually like a little bit easier of a day on a Friday. I'm, you know, managing a household, I'm looking after my cats, I'm socializing, I'm seeing friends. And so you might think, well, why wouldn't you consider yourself fully recovered? And I guess I'm still susceptible to post-exertional malaise. I can still do too much, given I have to do a lot now for it to be too much, but it still happens. I can still have some symptoms at times. The main things for me would be I get this like mouth pain, which is kind of, if I'm more tired, it will kind of like flare. So I get this sort of pain in my mouth, which is really uncomfortable. And just generally like aching muscles, feeling a bit headachy, feeling a bit brain foggy. I still get those symptoms now. And what else can I share with you? Yes, definitely fluctuations around my menstrual cycle. So I feel great probably from ovulation until menstruation. Even the first few days of menstruation, I feel okay. But then if I don't pace myself around my menstrual cycle, I can feel really, really tired from about day 3 to 10 of my cycle. I am prone to estrogen dominance, so sometimes what will also happen is I can feel a little bit like histamine-y round about ovulation, just kind of more like elevated heart rate, inability to settle, like more of like an activation in my nervous system, which I think is potentially from having high levels of estrogen at the time. So there are still symptoms that I have, and I don't know if that's just me, or maybe some of these people who say that they're fully recovered and still have some things that they don't share or talk about openly. I don't know. But for me, I think I still feel like I have to be careful. And I'm wondering if that's careful, or if that's just a good level of human self-care. Because I think so many people live their lives on this like autopilot, stuck in fight or flight, and they're just going and going and going and going and going. But they are exhausted all the time and they do have headaches. But because they've never been through this kind of very destroying chronic fatigue experience, they just normalize. And they think that that's part of everyday life. And so maybe some people who we would potentially consider healthy are actually not very healthy, and they could do with pacing to the degree that maybe I do, or the level of self-care and attentiveness and consideration that some of us who've been through this healing journey still apply to our health today. So I guess this is probably a bit of a ramble because I didn't prepare, but what I'm trying to say is I'm not sure what fully recovered means. I've tried to like ask a few people. I recently interviewed Raylan Agle and I asked her a little bit about this, and you know, she kind of seems like she has done amazing in her recovery. She's also been recovered for a lot longer than what I have. So there may be more balance that comes with time as well. But when it comes to this idea of full recovery, I think it's important that we maybe consider that full recovery isn't being able to do whatever you want and get away with it. Being able to eat whatever you want, go back to the high sugar inflammatory diet, or not getting enough sleep, or not pacing, or, you know, overtraining and get away with it. Because I think it's not human. It's not human for us to eat bad food and feel okay. Sure, some people do get away with it, but I don't think that that's necessarily what should be happening. It's not human to just go balls to the wall and never pace yourself. It's not human to be able to go for multiple nights without sleep. So we may still need to take some of those self-care practices that we've used in our recovery and keep them in our life to maintain a degree of health and well-being. The other aspect of this is also a lot of people are diagnosed with these chronic health conditions, but I don't think every case is the same. Definitely every case is not the same. And I think one of the big things that I got from some of the training I've done in autoimmunity is that when someone has autoimmunity, specifically a systemic autoimmune condition, the prognosis is so different. Like if somebody had mold, and we know we can like get them out of the moldy home, we can, you know, work on clearing out the mold spore colonization, we can support detox and drainage, we can deal with all of that. But if someone is producing antibodies to their own tissue, that's a very, very different scenario. And that might be a lot more of a, that might be a lot more challenging case to work with than somebody who has chronic fatigue that has mold versus someone who has chronic fatigue because they have lupus, for example. So I think we also need to consider the prognosis of each case in the context of the imbalances that are going on. Somebody who has just a lot of stress, adrenal burnout, blood sugar dysregulation, that's a pretty easy fix. But if there's more complex things going on, if there's infections, if there's autoimmunity, then we need to just consider how can we support this person as much as possible? And how can we move this person in the direction of improving quality of life as much as possible? And understanding that in depending on what else someone has going on in their life in terms of stresses and resources, whether that's financial resource or the resource of, you know, having supportive relationships, it will take more time for some people versus others because of the resources that they have available. But what I don't want to say is that you are stuck where you are, because I don't believe that's true. I have not met a client yet where I've just been like, I don't know what to do with you. We're stuck. This is the end of the line for you. There's always things that we can address. And even if those things are not things that are within my scope of practice to address, I can always see that there's, oh, you could go and see that person, or you could go and see that person. You could try this, you could try that. Whether or not that person then goes on to pursue those things is completely up to them. But there's always something that people can do. And instead of striving for this idea of full recovery, which can feel very overwhelming to a nervous system that is very dysregulated, I like to just say, well, how could we just get 10% more, give you just 10% more quality of life, whatever that means to you, 10% more energy, 10% better sleep, 10% more capacity so you can read a chapter of a book before you go to bed or whatever it might be. And then when we get to that place where there is 10% more, then we just ask the question again, like, how do we get 10% more now? What would 10% more than this look like? And how do we think that we could get there? And on the same note, also just saying sometimes we don't need to be doing more. Sometimes we need to be doing less. Sometimes it's about being more consistent with the things that we know are supportive. And sometimes it's also just about giving time. So we identify what works. We do what works. We repeat, we repeat, we repeat, we repeat. And we just let the body do the rest. And I find, especially with women who have a certain degree of instability due to their menstrual cycle, sometimes we just need to do the same thing for several cycles, because one cycle may be good. You're like, oh, yes, this is working. It's really helping. Then the next cycle may be, oh, no, it feels like I've gone backwards. But then the next cycle is, oh, yes, no, it's good again. That was just a funky cycle. So with women, it always makes things a little bit more confusing. But we want to just keep on holding the line and just really connecting to our gut and our intuition and just trusting that what we're doing is supportive. And very often it's a case of less being more in some of these chronic illness conditions. So circling back to the question, which is, what is your definition of being fully recovered? I have no idea. I just don't. Because personally, I don't feel fully recovered. When I hear people say that they're fully recovered, I'm like, oh, I want that. But I'm not actually quite sure what that means specifically for me, because I think it might mean that I would just go back to my old lifestyle again. And I don't think my old lifestyle was a lifestyle that served me. I kind of like my new lifestyle, and I think I've got enough in my life. Would I like more? Yes, you know, I would like to be doing longer hikes on weekends more often, not necessarily picking the time of my cycle when I feel my best to do a long hike, you know, as an example. But I also think, and I've spoken about this on the podcast before, is that's also what it means to train for something. Like we athletes who want to run a marathon, they start by running 5K or they do couch to 5K, which is, you know, you run for a minute, you walk for 2 minutes or whatever it is. And over a number of weeks, you build up. And then maybe once you can run consistently for 5 kilometers, then you're doing longer runs and eventually you do a marathon. And this is the same thing, but applied to chronic fatigue, is that we have to retrain ourselves back into the world. And the bigger you want your life, the more ambitious you want your life, you need more time for that training. And you need more support for that training. And because there may also be other things in your life going on, you can't train for everything all at once. So when I think about my own life and, you know, how far I've come, there's continuous progress all the time. And as my fitness and my capacity has improved, but whether I would say, oh, I'm fully recovered, I don't think I can say that yet. And I would just say to you, the listener, to have an idea of what you would like to get to, like what would kind of be like, not necessarily the dreaming to like the biggest, most extravagant thing that you would like to do in your life, but perhaps pick a few moderate goals, things that feel achievable. Because sometimes when the gap between where you are and what you want is so big, the nervous system just go, bleh, can't deal with this, too much, overwhelming. So we want to pick something that's achievable and just kind of work out what we need to do to get from A to B. And then when we do get to that achievable place, then you can reevaluate and take the next steps. And so I think it's less about aiming for like the big bang and the big wow recovery, I'm recovered now, but just kind of settling into this very like humble, grounded, slow healing journey and just really navigating it from a place of staying connected to your sense of self and staying grounded in your sense of knowing, so that you can also reach out to get support as needed as you navigate that journey. So that seems like a bit of a waffle today. I hope I have done this question some justice. I feel like I haven't necessarily answered the question, because I feel to a certain extent it is an unanswerable question, but I hope that some of my musings, so to speak, have been insightful for you. They've maybe helped you reflect on how you are approaching your own journey, and there might be an opportunity for you to approach your journey differently in a way that allows you to feel more grounded and settled in this process, however it is that you're navigating it. So I wish you well on your day, and I will see you in the next episode.